Amber Barrett, 10 for the Republic of Ireland. Amber Barrett from 4 yards out.
OTB live commentary. Never miss the action right here on OTB Sports Radio.
Gary Breen, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Is that too simplistic to suggest that Mikel Arteta is the right man for the job and he just needs somebody to bang in a few goals for him?
Well, listen, I think every manager needs a forward who can bang in the goals for him. But I think he, at the moment, is the right man for the job. I hadn't seen much of Arsenal until I watched them last night. I was a little bit disappointed with their performance, to be perfectly honest, because I felt that they could have really exploited the fact that Manchester United are not, at this stage, very good at pressing. I think at times they did, and Arsenal could have played through it quite comfortably, but they were so loose with possession. Smith Rowe, more than anyone, was giving a ball away when, in previous games, he gets it in that 10 area, he turns, he's so dynamic, he drives forward. But I do, I found it very noticeable just how ineffective Aubameyang was, and it was incredible to see, bearing in mind that I hadn't seen Arsenal so much, and I thought that he was way below the standards you normally associate with him.
Yeah, I mean, they probably should have got in ahead at half-time, Gary, and, like, they had a penalty. I was listening to your thoughts on it in the game last night, but, like, that Maguire pull, the end of the half, they could and probably should have got in ahead, and maybe that changes the complexion of it. But ultimately, two teams last night that are going to be lucky to be top four contenders, slogging it out and decided by, we were just saying earlier in the show, by one of the best players who've ever played the game. And it's as simple as that, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, in terms of watching, you know, Manchester United and Arsenal, you're growing up and it's such a big game in the early part of Premier League history. And the standard last night was a massive drop from what we're used to. But the reality was, although both clubs are operating at reduced status now, it was a massive game for both clubs because I felt if Arsenal won that, they could have really cemented that place in fourth in terms of going into the new year. The confidence should have been high. And Manchester United couldn't afford to lose it to allow Arsenal to have that type of gap. But I just felt at times that it was two teams who really are struggling. And I think it's going to be a long way back for both teams to get anywhere near the top three because they're miles ahead in terms of quality and certainly more than anything in terms of organisation, in terms of the way their teams are set up and how difficult they are to beat. So I think both... Arteta's got a big ask ahead of him. But the big point is that both teams will need Champions League football and the riches that gives you and the kudos to try and bridge that gap. And so that's why it's so important that whoever won last night, it's a massive win for United.
Look, without getting, even if Arsenal had won last night or even if it was a draw, Gary, though, surely Manchester United are much further down that path than Arsenal and in a much better position, regardless of the manager, to actually take fourth spot.
Well, they are in terms of the investment, Owen. Yeah, they are. But in terms of the form, it's been horrific. You know, you have to look past the amount of money that's been paid on these players and just look at their form. And I know, like, a lot of people say, well, listen, and I'd be one of them, say that squad should be doing so much better under a manager who organises them better than the previous one. So you'd expect them to start picking up points a lot easier than they had done. But if Arsenal had got that win, it would have been difficult for them to bridge that because Arsenal seems to be at the moment, Owen, be able to win the games that before would have been a problem from certainly away at Burnley. You think about the physicality of those front two centre forwards and Arsenal comfortably dealt with that. That was an impressive win. They go to Leicester, win 2-0 and you think that's an impressive win as well. And I just felt that Arsenal would be able to win the games that you would expect them to as such. I know that they've been shown how far away they are by the drubbing against Liverpool, but Liverpool can do that to any team in world football, certainly any team in the Premier League. Obviously, Manchester City beat them comfortably. Again, they can do that. And Chelsea in that 2-0 win at the Emirates. So, but these three teams are miles ahead of Arsenal and miles ahead of Manchester United. But I just felt if Arsenal could have got that result, and I think at times in that game last night, it was there for them. That's where the frustration will be. Because I think there were errors more than anything leading to United's goals. But, you know, they didn't take it. They weren't ruthless enough.
A lot of the conversation now about United is like what Ranić is going to bring to the party and what he's going to do once he properly gets his feet under the table. And I was interested, one of your comments of the game last night, United need so much coaching out of possession. They think they're pressing, but they're not. And I wondered, Gary, are you looking at that as a coaching thing or as an attitude thing?
Do you know what? I wouldn't question their attitude because I think they would, like, listen, I would, over the course of the season, but certainly not last night. I think they want to close. I just don't think they know how to. And that's incredible because it doesn't matter if you have me tearing around closing down. If the guys behind me are not doing it, it's redundant, really. And I think at times you saw Bruno Fernandes running and trying to close down. and closed down the centre half. And the centre half's looking at him, thinking, "Yeah, you're closing me down, but no one is behind me. It's a simple pass just to pop it." And I think on about four or five occasions in that first half, Arsenal just passed through their press so easily, and that's where the frustration was as an Arsenal fan, that they didn't take advantage of it. They were losing possession. Partey at times would give the ball away. Smith Rose, I mentioned, and they weren't clinical enough in terms of that. Manchester United do that against a better team, they're going to be 3 or 4 nil down again. So I think Ranieri's going to look at that and think there's no point them doing it that way because it's too easy to play against. Even for like lesser teams would cut United open. So I do believe it is a coaching thing. Then you've got to look at the question of, do these players want to do that week in, week out, that collective of United players? That's another question, because they might want to do it when a new manager's looking in and they're trying to impress after what's been a horror show for them. Whether they can do that consistently the way that the top three teams do, that remains to be seen, and I'm not convinced they can.
Yeah. So it's basically a case, he's going to come in and he's going to say, "I don't care what you've been doing, this is my way." And it's a very obvious thing, Gary, like, it's the players at some point are expecting somebody to tap them on the shoulder and go, like, they've got to that level, they're smart enough to know that this isn't right.
Yeah, and listen, you said about Ranieri saying to them players, "I don't care about what you've been doing." Well, no one cares what they've been doing, because they ain't been playing nowhere near the levels of Manchester United. I mean, they've been abysmal, United, in terms of the amount of goals they've been conceding. Then they look so vulnerable, the amount of games they've lost in this calendar year at Old Trafford. I mean, these stats are all-time low for Manchester United. How far they've dropped is incredible, bearing in mind the quality of player that they have there, the support that they have. So ultimately, you are then looking at the coaching. It's the only thing you can look at first, but then the next question will be, well, listen, we want to play this way. He wants to give the club an identity. And I know a lot of people are probably looking at Ranieri and thinking he's not a serial winner, but in terms of what he's been brought in to do, he is excellent at building a structure from what a club can go on to better things. Now, I would initially have looked at Manchester United and think, well, you're questioning the structure of Manchester United, arguably the biggest club in the world. He hasn't got to rebuild the training ground or in terms of youth recruitment. Ultimately, what Ranieri has to do is coach the first team, because everyone's talking about there's problems, there's so bigger problems at Manchester United. The big problem at Manchester United is the first team hasn't been coached properly, or if it has been, these players are not able to execute it. That's what he has to address. I know ultimately he'll come in and try and do his work behind the scenes, and whether or not he recruits a new coach in the summer. But ultimately, right now, they have got to be on that training ground coaching these players how to press, how to work out of possession. Because I don't care how good a footballer you are in possession, and obviously those players are gifted, because they wouldn't be at Manchester United if they're not. If you can't play without the ball in the Premier League, in Europe's elite level, you just won't win games.
One last one for me, just on, it's sort of related to that point, Gary, on the defensive situation at United. And like, I'm conscious that Varane comes back in and maybe that fixes a lot of things, but yeah. Is that situation a similar point around the coaching? And it does relate to a question about Harry Maguire and whether he's good enough to play for Man United.
Well, do you know, I think so much has been made of his form since he's come back from that injury. And I was commentating on the game that he came back against Leicester, and it was on the back of maybe having a couple of days training. What it has been proved is that guy needs to be fully fit to contribute, because I felt up to that point before, I thought he was a real present for Manchester United. And I know people will argue and say, like, well, they'll this game and that game. But over a consistent period, I thought he was a real presence back there, to the extent that when he was missing, they looked so vulnerable at set pieces, just in terms of his presence. And I think too much has been, listen, he's in a dreadful run of form in terms of the level that we've seen at United before and how he performed for England in the Euros. But I think he just needs to maybe take a step back. I don't know how they're going to do it and get his confidence back. But I don't think it's a question of he is not good enough for Manchester United. On his day, I think he's still the best centre-half there. Having said that, Lindelof played very, very well last night. He looked like the more of the leader, the one who's playing with a bit more confidence than either of the two centre-halves. But if you go back to Lindelof again, you're going back to where you kept going back over the last few years, where suddenly he comes up against a physical, robust forward and he struggles. So there are big decisions to be made, but ultimately those decisions are not necessarily about rebuilding Manchester United as a club. It's just rebuilding this as a team.
You talk about the team not being coached over the last little while. I'm not sure if you've been in that position yourself as a player, Gary, but surely if you get a new manager in who is coaching, who is putting in quite a big amount of work into the detail of what you're going to do, whether it's pressing, whether it's defensive work, surely that just leads to a massive bounce immediately, and Manchester United fans can expect something in the short term once Ranieri gets a few sessions with these guys.
Oh, Owen, I think there'll be a big upturn. If this guy's as good a coach as everyone's saying, and listen, you're hearing even his rivals as such, I know they're kind of like people who've worked under him before, but even Jurgen Klopp, I mean, I didn't know if that was a loaded statement, but he says, oh, we've got to worry about this. We've got real opposition now. I don't know if that's loaded against Oli, but or just a mark of respect for Ranieri when he said, oh, this is not good news for the opposition. But I think you have to remember, these are still quality footballers, and what you're just trying to get from them and what you have to have as a Manchester United player, because I think you can get to Manchester United as a player through technical ability, but I think you to stay there and be at the level that's normally associated, you have to have consistency. And this is what's lacking with so many of that group. But I'd still feel that is a squad that any manager coming in now must be thinking, licking his lips, thinking, well, listen, it is absolutely impossible for them to be any worse than they have been over the last 6, 8 weeks, whatever. So he must be looking and thinking, I can make a massive difference. And I believe he will. And I think the upturn will be quick. I genuinely believe that, because I think at times players probably, when things are going wrong, players are notorious and guilty for like, well, listen, I'm working hard. Why are we losing? The coaching's not great. Mm-hmm. If he gets that coaching right and they start getting a couple of positive results, United will be a difficult team to play against.
I was going to ask you that question, actually. If you've been in that, further on Owen's question there, if you've been in dressing rooms before where you're ultimately sort of conscious that we could be doing a bit better here or things could be a bit better, and the dressing room gets very bogged into the motion.
Yeah, 100% I've been in dressing rooms where I thought, we're just not organised enough. Mm. It's simple as that. There might be times where you think training's not hard enough, we're not fit enough, and you know, you've got to be realistic. And footballers will always kind of half look for someone else to lay the blame at. But a lot of footballers will look inwards and say, "Well, listen, why are we struggling here?" And I think I have been certainly in changing rooms. I thought this coaching is no wonder we're all over the place. We're playing off the cuff, and I think at times when I've watched Manchester United, that was my immediate reaction to how they played. Yeah, the moments of brilliance, moments of individual incredible moments, and Ronaldo, whoever, because there's a lot of those players who can do that. But as a collective, I was looking at them thinking, you're just playing off the cuff. Under Ranieri, we're led to believe it won't be any of that.
Where were you playing off the cuff?
Listen, it's too long. it's too long ago now to start naming names. But don't worry, I haven't forgotten.
I was going to ask you which of these teams is going to make the top four. Are either of them going to make the top four?
Well, listen, I think in terms of West Ham have been very impressive. You're looking at Moyes, I think he knows how he needs his team to play to be functional in terms of how difficult to play against, that they're asking questions. Even against Liverpool, I thought they were excellent in terms of exploiting Liverpool's set pieces, which is not an easy thing to do, but little things like the fact that Van Dijk stays at the back post on zonal marking, they attack that near post at first. Then he moves a little bit. They got that first goal, didn't they? Then Van Dijk moves a little bit to the middle. Then Declan Rice comes off the goalkeeper, blocks Van Dijk, takes him under the ball to create the chance for Zouma to head that late winner. So they were very good, West Ham. The problem that West Ham will have is the strength in depth. As soon as some of their key players go missing or get injured, they'll struggle. But then you're looking at the depth that Manchester United have, and you're thinking, well, you have the depth, but you're not, your first 11's not doing it as such. So I think it's so difficult. I think that fourth place, I mean, everyone's talking about you're playing for those Champions League places. There's one place available. The three are taken. At the beginning of the season, within about two games, you know, well, listen, that ain't going to change. I don't care how much of an impact Ronaldo makes. Manchester United are not going to get in the top three. So I think it's a challenge for that. But I think Manchester United, Arsenal, I think West Ham, they must be all looking at it thinking we can do it.
Yeah. And Michael Carrick, obviously, we need to have a word on him this morning as well. It did feel like, looking at his statement and listening to his interview after the game last night, that there was a huge part of him, Gary, that still wanted to stay there.
Yeah, but it's such a difficult one, isn't it? Because when you're part of a coaching staff on two occasions where it goes wrong, I think it's very difficult for you to stay there. I know Ranieri's come in and the statement said that he's brought a small coaching staff with him, but I don't know. I think he's obviously loyal to Oli. To stay there, I think he probably said, listen, I'll see, and his love for Manchester United, I'll I'll bridge the gap until the new manager that comes in. But I think he probably was thinking to himself, no, I've been here too long now. And what a servant for Manchester United, an incredible player. I was at West Ham when he came through as a kid, and he was such a good player then as a young player. Had real presence about him even at a young age. Took the number 6 shirt at West Ham, which is an iconic shirt, bearing in mind it's Bobby Moore. Mm. Then he takes the iconic shirt at Manchester United, 16, Roy Keane's, and you're thinking, you know, it's quite easy to go, no, just give me another number. But he takes it all in his stride, not really fazed by anything. And I think you saw that while in that interim period where he's been the manager for the last 3 games. He looks calm, he looks relaxed, and you hope now that he can build a career, if that's what he wants to do in management, elsewhere. And maybe one day he will come back to Manchester United.
There was some suggestion over the last couple of weeks, Gary, maybe or maybe not on the show, that Michael Carrick was a tad overrated as a player. I'm getting senses here that you totally and wholeheartedly disagree with that.
Oh, no. In terms of his performances and the base of that midfield, listen, if Alec Ferguson goes looking for you as a centre midfielder and like puts so much stock in it, you know, this is at the point of the team where you've got to play. The team plays through you. I thought he was an excellent central midfielder. I think I would enjoy debating that with anyone who said he wasn't.
We'll get you on with Jarrod next week. That's...
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, well, listen, who's he comparing him to? Like what? Roy Keane? Paul Scholes?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's saying that anybody could look good. Not anybody, but a half-decent player can look good in that company.
Well, I don't know about that. Jemba.
So good to name them twice. Gary, thanks a million.
Yeah, thanks guys. Good luck.
Appreciate it. Cheers. Gary Breen on the line there. We'll have to set that up for next week to get full into that. I don't want to be misrepresenting Jarrod's point here, or badly representing, I suppose.